Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 640. It's the 17th of November, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Jerry Randall, CEO of Venture Life. That's VLG ticker. It discusses their recent positive trading update. Plus, I also have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about Barclays, feedback, and conviviality. I also have today suggested one for your watchlist, which is EVR Holdings, or EVRH, the ticker. It was submitted by Victor Raymond. Now, I think that's a made-up name because, as we know, EVR Holdings are into virtual reality, and Victor Raymond's initials are Victor Raymond. But the research, you know, seems substantial, so obviously I'm going to read it out. It's quite good there, and worth doing a further research on this company, I think. Plus, I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the website this morning.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jerry Randall, CEO of Venture Life, and that's VLG ticker. Jerry, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Now, we have spoken before on a previous occasion here, but I'm sure there's some people that have not heard of Venture Life or new listeners to the podcast. So, Jerry, can you give us a summary as to what Venture Life is all about, please?
Yeah, sure. Venture Life is an international self-care company. We develop, manufacture, then market products for the aging population that you would buy through the pharmacy channel. We use international partnerships to distribute our products, so we don't have our own sales force. So those partnerships will be on a long-term basis, 10 years or possibly more, where we will distribute the product into the country. From that point, the distributor has the responsibility, both financially and from a resource basis, to distribute that product to the end customer. So that's through the distribution channel to the pharmacies. We also have sales in the UK where we sell direct to the retailers. One of our products called Ultradex for oral care is sold directly into Boots, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Lloyds, etc. But in the rest of the world where we sell in over 40 countries, that's undertaken through a distribution model.
Okay, excellent stuff. And I'm looking today, the share price is 56 pence, market cap just over 20 million. And you've recently had a trading update that seemed very positive. I'm reading through it here. Do you want to take us through the highlights there, Jerry, please?
Yes, of course. So as a business, we started at the back end of 2010 and grown from a zero base. So this year, this last week, we reported that we expect revenues this year to be over 14 million pounds for the year, which is growth of over 50% over last year. We're very pleased with that result. It demonstrates a number of things. Part of that growth was through acquisition, but a significant part of that growth was also through our general organic growth of the rest of our business. We made an acquisition March of this year of the oral care brand I mentioned earlier, Ultradex, and we successfully integrated that into our business in many ways. Not only have we integrated it commercially and we're now running those sales and the marketing relating to that product in the UK, but also we are manufacturing that product in our facility in Italy. We have about 90 people in the business, 20 of whom are in the UK based around partnering and managing those partners. But we have 70 people in Italy, 40 of which are in manufacturing, about five in development. And that's where the vast majority of our products are developed and made. And we've transferred all of the manufacturing from that acquisition into that plant. We're now manufacturing the product and shipping that out to many countries. So within 6 months, we fully integrated that acquisition. Also, this revenue growth moves us this year into what the market is expecting to be an EBITDA profit, our first EBITDA profit. We reported in the first half of the year that we'd broken into EBITDA profit, and that will grow in the second half of this year, showing the trajectory that the market is expecting for us to go on and grow even more next year and move into sustainable profitability. So it's a real landmark for us, and the company's really turned a corner to becoming sustainably profitable.
Yes, you mentioned Ultradex there, and it seems to be going very well. And so, you know, you've just done a marketing campaign. What was involved in that? Because I assume, the market there is quite a competitive market. So how do you get your head above the parapet? How do you get people to recognise your brand?
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, the UK is a slightly different market for us, where we sell directly to the retailers, and the Ultradex brand is the only brand we sell in that way now. Mm. So we do some of the above-the-line advertising ourselves for that. Odradex is a premium product. It's in the medicated mouthwash category. So 85% of mouthwashes and oral care products are just general. They'll be your general toothpaste, your general Listerine type products. Odradex is a medicated mouthwash with a specific ingredient inside it for a specific therapeutic condition, and therefore sits in the category alongside things like Corsodil and our main competitor CB12. So it's a much smaller market, and in that market, because it's a medicated product, people are interested in the efficacy of the product and not just the branding or the big name. So the product has a large number of clinical trials behind it, proving its value and its worth, not only to halitosis and bad breath, which is the main indication, but also in other areas relating to gum bleeding and general oral health. So it sits in the premium category because it has a specific medicated claim and has clinical data supporting that claim.
Yeah, and like I said, the trading update is very positive. And you said, so you see this this improvement going forward, do you, into 2017?
Yes. I mean, we still expect to continue to grow at a good rate. We don't expect to grow at 50% every year, because obviously part of that this year was through acquisition. But we expect a good level of growth going forward. And as I say, the expectation from the analysts is that we move into a sustainably profitable position going forward. So yes, the growth will continue. We've got a lot of interesting new products coming through. Our existing products are growing, and the board's very confident about the future.
Yeah, and one of the changes you made in there, or announcements you made in the update there, was a UK sales director. So what's the reasoning behind that, Jerry?
Yeah, so we acquired the Ultradex brand in March of this year, and that was a local UK company. And so we've invested in a new UK sales director who's experienced to push that brand even further, because we think there's significant potential to grow the UK revenues of Ultradex. Plus, we're going to grow it internationally, where it's not really sold at all at the moment, which is our forte. And the new UK sales director is to focus on initially the Ultradex brand, but also to look at introducing more of our brands into the UK space.
I see. And you say there, I mean, at the moment, I'm trying to search, you know, frantically here, but as far as going forward, you're saying you're going to be EBITDA positive. Are you now, or will you be paying a dividend in the future?
Yes, since I started the business back in 2010 with my business partner, Sharon, who's the commercial director, we've always had the philosophy of paying a dividend, no matter how small. And we have always paid a small dividend. We will continue to pay a small dividend. And as we move into a sustainably profitable period, we will grow that dividend, obviously, as a benefit to shareholders. It won't be big. It won't be like investing in a FTSE blue chip company, but we think it's important for shareholders to see a small cash return. So yes, we will be EBITDA positive this year, and that will grow further next year, and see moving into an earnings positive position.
Nice. All right, Jerry. Well, it's been great to talk to you. And listen, if you need to give on the website here at Vox, we have a follow button on your page, and I always cover the top five most followed companies of that day on the podcast. So could you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button next to you, VGL, on the Vox Markets page?
Of course. I think the first reason is we have had significant revenue growth, and we're now moving into that profitable phase of the business. So we don't need to come back to the market for money, and we're in good shape that way. I think also, if you look at the research that's published on us at the moment, the target price on the research, both from our in-house brokers and others, is over £1 and up towards £1.20. So we're significantly below the 12-month share price, and therefore there's great upside for the shareholders, potential investors. And I think finally, we're an interesting company. The products are understandable. We're in a great demographic area. We're in the aging space, where people need to pay for their own medication and treat themselves. And that's just going to grow more and more and more as healthcare budgets are stretched and as more people live longer. So an exciting business in a great space.
Jerry, thanks very much for chatting to me, and hopefully you'll speak again very soon when you have more news out.
You're welcome, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're all right, Al?
I'm great, Justin. This new Trump world that we live in. Yep, all's good.
Yeah, well, it's almost like the market opened today, and I thought, has it opened? I mean, very few stocks moved in the first few minutes, seconds, especially the smaller cap space. I thought, it was a marked change from last week. This time last week, and Trump had got in, and the market was going crazy. There was red lights flashing, blue lights flashing everywhere. But now it's pretty calm, isn't it? We're almost calm before the storm. What's happening?
Well, it is. Well, the way I read it is that, of course, there was, first of all, shock horror. Trump's got in. Then he made the speech to the markets just 7:30 in the morning. And that placated both the forex markets and equity markets. And, of course, we saw a strong recovery based on, I think, the general take that, hey, Trump's a good businessman. You know, he's got some good people around him. We'll be okay. So, of course, we've had that. That's a relief rally, but we're now seeing infighting amongst Trump's entourage. Who's going to be in charge of defense? Who's going to be in charge of home affairs? All of this is going on. He's favoritism. His son Jared, what's his name? Kushner is. He wants to bring him into the cabinet and make him privy to daily briefings. So it's smacks of cronyism. So there's all of these issues are being digested, and what's he going to do, and is he mates with Putin, or is he going to go along and start bombing Aleppo with Putin's cohorts? There's all this uncertainty, and I think now we've just got a wait and see period in the run up to him taking office early next year. But meanwhile, of course, it's business as usual. You know, there's still lots of good stuff happening. We've had UK consumer price index falling back a bit this week, which is of course a good thing. You know, it's capping inflation. German ZEW survey: businesses are confident despite the fact that their GDP has fallen back. And of course, the US is still powering ahead. Retail sales show very strong growth this week. So, you know, the markets, the data that's coming out shows the major economies are well positioned in the run to the end of the year. So, it's all hands on deck for a Santa rally.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's all we want to know. Is there going to be a Santa rally this year? That's all I want to know. So hopefully now we'll have a bit of a lull, a bit boring for a while, you know, and then towards the end of the year we'll sort of ramp up, and get a bit of a Santa rally there. So what stocks are you looking at, Al? What's taking your fancy there?
Well, there's a couple of things got my eye this week. We're going back on stocks we've talked about before. Firstly, just want to briefly mention Barclays. And, of course, Barclays has broken out this week, pushed above £2 and got to £2.14, I think, a little earlier. I read a note by an analyst which actually summed up quite well. He said, you know, most of the banks are trading close to their net asset values, which is, the value of the assets they hold minus the debts.
That's
the carry, etc. Barclays, of course, it's well documented that the net asset value for Barclays is around the £2.80 to £3. In fact, it might even be over £3, I think, at last reckoning. So it's still trading well off that, and I think there's, you know, as the future for financial stocks becomes a little more certain, there's a bit more visibility there. Barclays is moving closer to its net asset value, and really, you could argue that it should be trading out there anyway. So, I held Barclays, and then as it's I sold off as it fell, but I picked up I picked up some stock around the £1.30, £1.40 mark. So I'm hopeful that we are going to see a recovery, you know, maybe to the £2.50s where it was at a year, 18 months ago.
Yeah, but, well, I'm looking at the end of the year. They've got here for the 31st of December 2015, this was, of course, but their net asset value per share is £3.42, it's showing here. So that's quite good. It may have come down a little bit, but
it's still a long way off. So you could argue that if the future is a bit more certain for financial stocks, then really Barclays has got to be a key recovery player because the other banks are trading closer to NAV. So do your own research, but that's the general view I've taken, and I have held Barclays stock for some years. So
there we are, Al. That's the way. What's on the smaller cap end of things? What are you looking at the moment?
Okay, well there's a company called Feedback PLC that we've discussed before. FDBK is the epic code. Yeah. Now, Feedback have two flagship products: Cambridge Computed Imaging, which is a medical imaging service where images are stored and distributed to the workstations for surgeons and doctors around the world. It was pioneered at Papworth and Papworth Hospital. hospital, and it's grown from there. And the same team also developed the TextRad product, which is using a software imaging tool to analyze those images and to highlight conditions and identify them earlier than they might otherwise do, and of course, you know, potentially saving lives. What's interesting is that every year there is a conference for the Radiological Society of North America, and anyone who's in the medical imaging industry is a kind of who's who of the industry. And there was an announcement yesterday by Feedback that said RSNA 2016 is expected to include 19 scientific paper presentations which contain results of TextRad analysis. And that's pretty significant. I mean, that's 19 separate pieces of data that really illustrates to me that TextRad is well and truly entrenched within the medical imaging industry now, and clearly sets the stall out very well for further development. There's also development taking place with Alliance Medical Group, and results of that work will also be presented at the conference. So it's a flagship conference, and TextRad has got a very high profile as a result of that. And you know, I'm sure we'll see further announcements and news in the coming months.
Marvellous. And any other stocks, Al?
Well, on a festive note, we go back to bargain booze.
Bargain booze? Oh, bargain, I want booze, some yeah. booze, but I want it cheap. Bargain booze is what I'm after, yeah.
Six packs of Tennent's Super and all the rest of it.
50 pence.
Yeah, that's
can't go
right.
wrong.
Yeah. I can't help but feel that maybe they did the wrong thing changing the name to Conviviality Retail, CVR.
Completely flipped the brand there from, you know, down markets, almost, you know, appealing to Dolites, you know, with a couple of quid spare, to like Conviviality, almost like a wine shop, isn't it? And for dinner parties and stuff.
But, well, it is, but you can see sort of Bargain Booze doing a joint venture with Poundland, you know. And anyway, we discussed a Conviviality a while ago. The company updated on trading for the half year to October at the beginning of this month. Revenues have grown 211% to 783 million, but that is as a result of the acquisitions the group has made during the year. Drinks wholesalers Matthew Clark and Bibendum, and also the events company Peppermint Co. The company very pleased with progress. The shares are currently trading at £2.10 and have been as high as £2.40, as low as £1.65. So they're roughly where they were when we discussed them last time. And it's worth remembering that this company's got a yield of 4.5% as well. So you can buy the stock and you get a yield which is beating inflation, which of course is the important thing. And in my opinion, some good growth potential too. It's got good broker support. Investec have got a buy rating, £2.80 price target. Shawcap and then N+1 Singer also with buy ratings too. So I think well worth a look. And, you know, if there is a Santa rally, I could see Conviviality, certainly the bargain booze aspect of Conviviality, receiving a bit of a shot in the arm, as it were.
Yeah, well, let's be honest, it is a season for bargain booze. Tis the season to be jolly, and you're always a bit jolly with a bit of bargain booze in your carrier bag going home.
you can't beat a six-pack of Tennent's Super.
Marvellous. Cheers, Al. Speak next week.
Thanks, Jess. Cheers, mate.
Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list is EVR Holdings, EVRH, and their subsidiary there, Melody VR. What does the company do? By the way, it's submitted by Victor Raymond. Initials, VR. It may be true. It may just have the same initials as virtual reality. I don't know. But Victor, thank you very much for submitting this. What does the company do? Virtual reality. Melody VR is a wholly owned subsidiary of EVRH Holdings, a creator of virtual reality music content. How many shares does the company have in issue? 943 million. What's the current price of market cap? It's 3.4 pence, 32 million market cap. What revenue and profit loss does the company generate? Revenue is virtual for now. For the 6 months ended the 30th of June 2016, they lost £1.1 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? No debt. For the 6 months ended 30th of June 2016, they had £1 million in cash, and on September the 20th, they raised £3.4 million before expenses through an oversubscribed placing of 200 million shares to new and existing investors at an issue price of 1.7 pence. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. At one, on September the 6th, 2016, Melody VR entered into a strategic partnership agreement with Telefonica Germany, the largest mobile communication provider in Germany, to showcase a light version of Melody VR app across Telefonica's 665 O2 branded stores throughout Germany beginning in September 2016 for a period of 1 year. Reason two, on the 24th of May 2016, Melody VR entered into an exclusive licensing agreement with major international record label. The agreement relates to a number of VR experiences created by Melody VR in March 2016. The content, which features a well-known label artist with a recent top three album release, will be available for fans for an exclusive 12-month period on the virtual Melody VR platform when launched later this year. Melody VR continues to make progress within the virtual reality music space, and its library of VR experiences continues to grow with performances featuring over 400 well-known recording artists, an increase of 150 artists since admission to the stock market in May 2016. And reason three, the virtual reality industry is growing at a significant rate, and 2016 is on course to be the breakout year with launches of Oculus Rift, PlayStation VR, HTC Vive, and according to Deloitte, the industry is expected to break the $1 billion barrier for the first time this year, and Goldman Sachs estimates the market could be worth $80 billion by 2025. So it's EVRH, and I do hold some stock in this company, so I think they have potential. You know, I mean, like I said, all the big players are in this space, so you know, the momentum is there. So do your own research. Listen, anything you hear in this podcast, please do your own research. Don't make any investment decision based on what you hear solely here. These are just stepping stones to an investment decision. Please do your own research. I can't stress that enough. And that's EVRH if you want to search for it. And the subsidiary is Melody VR, which I think you can follow on Twitter as well. Okay, let's look at the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. That's five. It's Koovs, K-O-O-V. And I may write an updated blog on those. I do hold stock in that. And they just raised some more money recently at 50 pence. But off the back of that, they've risen today quite strongly. At four, AMI Minerals, AMC. At three on the podcast yesterday, Greg, a CEO there, or managing director. Georgian Mining Corporation, GEO. At two, Angus Energy, ANGS. And they had a little bit of a rise yesterday and came back up 13% at one point, then came back to 5% up. But I definitely think you should put those in your watch list. Guys behind Horse Hill now have their own asset with the similar, you know, geological formations as Horse Hill. Even a little bit better, they think, on early tests. Plus, they have two producing assets, which is very good for, you know, cash flow there. So it's ANGS, Angus Energy. And number one, brand new number one, not been number one ever before, Churchill Mining. Now, I saw an email from Churchill Mining. They have you know, legal issues going on there, legal litigation going on in I think it's Indonesia. But apparently, there's going to be a decision made on this in the next few weeks. So obviously, people put this in their watch list. And it's you know, if it goes in their favour, the share price should see a re-rate. It's very much a 50-50 bet, I suppose. But it's CHL, Churchill Mining, is the ticker there. All right. Top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. They were at five, MX Oil, MXO, update on Nigerian investment. At four, Extract Resources, XTR, Manika Project, Strategic and Progress Report. At three, Mayan Energy, holdings in the company. Is it Epsilon? I think it was Investments, so it's taken 7.9% there. At two, Electo Minerals, update on Matala mine financing. And at number one, the most liked RNS today on the Vox Market side, is Keras Resources. Initial drilling program commences at the Klondike there. That's a flagship development down under. That's it for the podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.